The more aware a person becomes of his own weaknesses and failings and transgressions, the more amazed he becomes of the beauty and the magnitude and the wonder of God's mercy. The first time the word mercy is found in the scriptures in the English language in the New King James Version is Genesis chapter 19, where the destruction of God against Sodom was very near. And the Bible tells us that God had sent the angels in. They had come into contact with Lot and his family. And then we're told in chapter 19 there, beginning at verse 15, that when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the man took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains lest you be destroyed." The word mercy here in the Hebrew language concerns in terms of God's relationship with the people or an individual. It refers to God's faithfulness, his goodness, his graciousness. And here you see the goodness and the graciousness of God toward Lot in sparing him and helping him to hurry and get out before the destruction would come upon the city. God had to destroy it because of the great wickedness that was there. We see in Psalm 136 over and over again the repetition of this phrase, "For his mercy endures forever." All 26 verses. But as you notice in verse 10, it says, "To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever, with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through in the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever." We see the faithfulness, the goodness, the graciousness of God here in his act of protecting his people, delivering his people, destroying the enemies of his people. The mercy of God is always, it is constant. But we might ask the question, upon whom does God bestow his great mercy? Is it to just everyone without any consideration whatsoever to what they are doing, how they are living? The answer is found in numerous passages. We see, as an example, Psalm 103 and verse 11. It says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him." To fear God means we reverence him, we respect him in his word, we heed the things that he says, we are doers of his will. These are the people who fear and reverence God, and these are the people God will extend his mercy to. Also, we have Psalm 119, 132. "Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name." Do we love the name of God? God is merciful toward those who love his name. What does it mean to love the name of God? You know, there's probably a woman sitting beside you tonight. If you're a man, married, you got your wife with you, and you know, that name has always been special from the early days. Someone mentions her name and you think of her. It brings feelings to your heart, fondness. And that's the way it is to be in regard to how we feel toward the name of God. It should fill our hearts with delight, with a desire to obey, with a desire to please him in all things. Those who love the name of God in that way are those who will find his mercy. In Proverbs 28, verse 13, we're told this, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." We are very aware of our weaknesses, of our sins. the transgressions that defile our souls, the way in which we stumble easily. And we're thankful for the mercy of God. Those who try to cover their sins, act like they're not there, justify them, are without hope. But here, Solomon says, by the Holy Spirit, anyone who confesses their sins and forsakes them, you leave them behind, you don't continue in that practice, that's the person also that will find the mercy of God. In Isaiah 55 and verse 7, we're told, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." God's mercy is something all people need. And those who return to God with humble hearts, those who seek his pardon, if we turn away from wicked works and unrighteous thoughts, God is there waiting, ready to show his mercy and extend it to us. Who is like God? Micah asks. Who is like a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. So we serve a God, thankfully so, that loves mercy. He delights to bestow it upon people. He wants us to live in such a way so that he can extend it to us. We need the mercy of God. And in fact, what God delights in here, he longs to see within us as well, his children. Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 36, "Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." The word there in the Greek means being concerned about another's unfortunate state or misery. So God is merciful to us. He's concerned about the wretched condition that we're in. God says, you need to be of the same heart. Be merciful like I am. Be concerned about where people are. Show mercy to people, or a care, a concern for their present state when they are far from God or in a desperate situation. Have compassion. Do what needs to be done. That might concern, or that might involve meeting physical needs, but most certainly it involves meeting spiritual needs. Do we have compassion on people? Are we showing mercy in the sense of realizing where they are and turning them, pointing them toward God? Jesus said in Matthew 5, 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Since we need it, we must extend it. Indeed, we're told in James 5 and verse 11, "We count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. The Lord is very compassionate and merciful." So despite the struggles we go through in life, whatever hardships we may face, the trials, the temptations that we sometimes succumb to, we're shown how God intends for everything to work out in the end. Though we may have difficulties to face, we can overcome them through Christ, and we can find at the end of it all the great compassion and mercy of God, who will bless us when we serve him faithfully. Tonight it may be that you need the mercy of God in a special sense, in that you have not yet been obedient to the gospel. That is, you haven't yet been a believer in Jesus Christ who responds to turn away from your past sins, confess your faith, and be baptized so that your sins can be washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. That plan that God has set forth is what brings us into his family. It's how the problem of sin is dealt with by God. It's where he extends his mercy to men and gives us the hope that we can live with. But sometimes we let go of that hope. We choose to turn away from our hope. We sin against God. We begin down a path that is back to the way we used to live, or we're enticed by worldly things to go into a manner of living that we hadn't even before. But either way, we're without hope. However, fortunately for us, God is merciful. He calls us back to him through his word, and he's willing to forgive us if we'll respond to him. And tonight, as the Lord invites you, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing.